Hey, yo, you ready? Let's do it.
Yeah. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to episode 30 of All In with Kevin. I am your host, Kevin Lewis. This is the post-Super Bowl episode. The Kansas City Chiefs got their asses whooped, 31-9. In the Super Bowl by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Buccaneers are Super Bowl champions. Tom Brady has won his 7th championship, and the Buccaneers have won their first since 2002, when I was a high school sophomore. Yeah. Look, that game, that was one of the single worst Super Bowls that I've watched, and it sucks because, like, I really enjoyed the Buccaneers' defensive effort. Like, the Buccaneers' game plan, they're rallying to the ball, how they covered the Tyreeks and the Travis Kelces and so on and so forth was excellent. And, like, I enjoy a well-crafted defensive game plan, especially in this era where it's hard as hell to stop people because of how the rules are. So it sucks that Kansas City couldn't do enough on either side of the ball, really, to be competitive, because I really enjoyed watching the Tampa Bay defense stifle the Chiefs. And make no mistake, they stifled them. Like, Patrick Mahomes has never lost by double digits in the NFL. Patrick Mahomes has never not scored a touchdown in a start in the NFL. And both of those things happened. They scored 9 fucking points. 9. Like, that game was so bad that me, guys like me who have an agenda, an anti-Brady agenda, can't even point to how ridiculous the refereeing was in the first half. Like, that's how bad the game was. Because, make no mistake, like, the refereeing was awful in the first half. Like, all these tic-tac PI calls and tic-tac defensive holding, and like the PI in the end zone was absurd. And mind you, like, here's a little fun note for you. The female referee who we were blabbing on and on about, you know, the first female referee in the Super Bowl. That's cool. I'm not trying to take nothing away from it, but we were talking a lot of shit. Like, first female referee in the Super Bowl, You know, she has a 15-year-old kid named Brady, who was born right after Tom Brady's second Super Bowl ring. So, you know, do your own math on that. the Tyrann Mathieu PI in the second quarter was one of the most ridiculous calls that I've ever seen in my entire life. Because, like, bro, singularly, just the actual action of the PI itself was bad, because it wasn't PI. They engaged at the point of attack. Both dudes made contact with each other. That's natural. There was no PI on that, regardless of the other surrounding context. Then you add to the fact that the play call, it was 10 seconds left in the first half, I believe, and it was first and goal or second and goal, one of them. And the play call was just, if it's there, throw it, and if it's not, throw that shit away. Like, Tom Brady practically hit the fucking play clock. And they called PI. Mind you, the NFL is the same people that tell you that uncatchable balls are a thing. And if it's an uncatchable ball, we're not supposed to call PI. That's what the NFL tells you. That's what the rule book tells you. That's what they tell you. Maybe the rule book has changed between yesterday and today. I don't fucking know. Maybe. I don't think so, though. It hasn't changed between yesterday and today, right? So the rule book has not changed. And that happened, and it was the most, like, bro, Tom Brady threw that shit to the play clock. Like, that, like, if he threw it a little bit harder, he could have hit the first row. And they called PI anyway, for some fucking reason, because Tyrann Mathieu dared to actually, you know, stand there, right?
Right.
You had the defensive holding on the interception that got overturned in the first half against the Chiefs. Like, none of this mattered. I'm just pointing out because I gotta talk about something. Because, I mean, what good is a podcast if I come on and for 45 seconds I tell you, hey, the Chiefs got their asses whooped. The end. Like, that doesn't make for halfway decent content now, does it? I can only say the Chiefs got the ass whooped in so many ways. You want me to find different languages to say that shit in? Like, maybe I should have done that. Maybe I should have pulled up, you know, how to say the Chiefs got their asses whooped in Portuguese. Maybe I should have done that. Maybe. Maybe that would have made for a dope podcast. Saying the Chiefs got their asses whooped in 50 languages. Just make the podcast title, the Chiefs got their asses whooped in, insert amount of languages here, and just make the whole podcast me reciting the Chiefs got their asses whooped in like 50 languages. Maybe that should have been the podcast. Because quite frankly, like, the game really wasn't worth talking about. Like, I will say this, and I've been talking shit for 6 minutes, whatever. I will say this, though. Todd Bowles deserves his credit. I am still salty about the fact that he came to the Jets. And, like, some guys are made to be head coaches. Some guys are meant to not be head coaches. Maybe Todd Bowles is one of those guys. I don't know. I'm not going to hold the Jets experience against him totally. But Todd Bowles, his biggest strength is calling plays. Period. Not to say he has no other strengths, not to say he can't relate to players, not to say he can't coach players, not to say he can't lead men. His biggest strength is calling plays. He came to the Jets, he had somebody named Casey Rogers calling plays. And it was clear that it wasn't gonna work. Clear. And he kept rolling with Casey Rogers. And it's like, you're being loyal to the wrong people. If Todd Bowles gets another head coaching job, call the plays. Look, like, I understand, like, we kind of get too wrapped up in offensive play calling versus defensive play, as far as, like, head coaches, like, offensive play callers versus defensive play callers, we get too wrapped up in that stuff. Like, whoever leads men the best is going to be good at their jobs and is going to win and so on and so forth. Like, that's what matters more than anything. And I am guilty of that shit, too. We get too wrapped up in, oh, this guy's an offensive-minded coach. This guy's a defensive-minded coach. Look, Todd Bowles is a defensive-minded coach and one of the best in the NFL. He gets a head coaching job, call the fucking plays. Do not leave the plays in the hands of Casey fucking Rogers or somebody like that. Don't. Like, we've seen what Todd Bowles has done this entire fucking year. Todd Bowles held one of the best quarterbacks that we have ever seen, say whatever you want, like, Patrick Mahomes hasn't played for that long, oh, he plays a good player, oh, whatever the ridiculous bullshit people say about Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is one of the best quarterbacks that's ever existed, right? You got Tyreek Hill, arguably the best wide receiver in the NFL. Travis Kelce, one of the best tight ends of all time. Todd Bowles' game plan and his players held that team to 9 fucking points. Patrick Mahomes didn't see the end zone not once. And granted, not for lack of effort, because he had 2 different touchdowns dropped. So, not for lack of effort. He tried. Like, Mahomes didn't play a great game. I'm not trying to sit here and say that he played some wonderful game. I'm just not exactly sure what people wanted him to do. Like, between Mahomes was running for his life for what? I want to say like a third of the snaps. He was running for his life, had a bunch of drops. Like, Tyreek Hill let a touchdown pass hit him in the damn face mask. Darrell Williams dropped a touchdown pass in the fourth quarter when the game was decided already, so who fucking cares? But it was decided already. He let a touchdown pass escape him. Like, Travis Kelce let a big third and long escape him, because of course, when you play Tom Brady, all of a sudden your good players forget how to do what the fuck they've been doing. You're playing Tom Brady, Travis Kelce forgets how to fucking catch the ball. Tyreek Hill don't know how to catch the ball. Now the world's greatest offense now can't score magically because Tom Brady on the other side. But jokes aside, like, I'm not exactly sure what people wanted Patrick Mahomes to do. I don't think he played poorly. Like, his stat line might reflect it. Cool. That's kind of why box score scouting is a waste of time. I don't think Patrick Mahomes played poorly. Now, I don't have the All-22 in front of me. Like, maybe Patrick Mahomes was missing open dudes all night. That's possible. That's a possible thing. Maybe he missed 5-6 open dudes that would have changed the game. Maybe. I just don't think that was the case. I don't. Like, Mahomes was running for his fucking life half the goddamn night. And then the other half of the night, motherfuckers was dropping passes. Motherfuckers was doing... Not for nothing. Like, I knew this game was going to go poorly, or at least I felt like this game was going to go poorly, when they targeted Mecole Hardman twice in the first drive. Mecole Hardman couldn't catch gonorrhea if he fell in a whorehouse, bro. Mecole Hardman couldn't catch pavement if he fell on the sidewalk. Like, just why are we talking? Like, why are we talking? And it's another thing. It goes back to the Chiefs taking a running back in round one. Look, am I saying that the Chiefs' round one pick is why they lost? No, the Chiefs got their asses whooped. I don't know how much better you want me to say it. The Chiefs got their asses whooped. They got their butts kicked all over Tampa from pretty much minute one from jump. Like, the first drive, the Chiefs forced a three and out. Like, that was the last positive thing the Chiefs did tonight, basically, right? That was the last difference-making positive thing the Chiefs did tonight. They got their asses whooped. But, like, you took a running back in round one. He got five touches tonight. Like, Tyreek Hill gonna do what Tyreek Hill does, typically, anyway. He got shut down tonight. It happens. It feels like they sent extra coverage his way, right? Like, that seems like the theme of the night. Similar to Travis Kelce. So, like, I don't know how it works with an actual good receiver opposite those guys. I'm not sure. Maybe it works differently. Maybe it doesn't. It's possible. But Mecole Hardman just is not it. Mecole Hardman runs fast in a straight line, and that's it. He can't catch. He ain't running good routes. Like, there was an overthrow in the first quarter from Patrick Mahomes when... I don't know if Mecole Hardman gets there if he keeps running, but he stopped running. So it's like, what are we doing here? Like, what are you doing? Why are you stopping your route? Why, like, are you that terrified to get hit? And hey, I'm not a football player. Maybe he is terrified to get hit, but it just doesn't work with the rest of the stuff that Mecole Hardman does. Mecole Hardman isn't good at football. He just isn't. He's really fast, and yo, as a fourth wide receiver, Mecole Hardman's cool. You run him out there, you let him catch the occasional 50-yard bomb, and then you sit him down. Like, you don't rely on him for anything. But if you're playing him for as many snaps as the Chiefs playing, that's a problem. Because eventually, that setup was going to come back and haunt them. Again, not saying that's the only reason they lost, but it's a contributing factor. It's like, look, all week, I thought the Buccaneers were going to win the game. Like, from the minute the Buccaneers beat the Packers in Lambeau, and Eric Fisher got hurt, in Kansas City, I thought the Bucs were going to win the game. I'm not saying Eric Fisher is some great player. No, I'm not. But against that particular defensive line and you're missing basically all your goddamn offensive linemen, it's going to be more difficult than people thought it was going to be. Patrick Mahomes is as good as everybody thinks he is. Or excuse me, as most of us think he is. He deserves all the accolades he gets. He deserves all the praise. He is amazing. And he is on a GOAT-level trajectory, regardless of what happened tonight and that butt-whooping that they took, right? He's on a GOAT-level trajectory. But if you're going to put him like against a Todd Bowles-led defense with a great front four with bullshit offensive line in front of him, I don't think people took that threat seriously enough all week. I just heard, Mahomes going to do X and Mahomes going to do Y. And I love Mahomes. I love watching Mahomes. One of my favorite players of football to watch. But the fact of the matter is, like, Mahomes needs help just like everybody else. It's football. It's the ultimate team game, they tell you, right? Everybody needs help. Did Mahomes do his part? No, not going to argue with you. He didn't. Nobody else did. And quite frankly, he was set up to fail. He was. Now, as I said, like, I thought the Buccaneers were going to win the game. Now, I had my own cynical reasons. I just did not think the Chiefs are going to beat the Buccaneers and Tom Brady's gigantic horseshoe that's been stuck up his ass for 20 years. So I have my own cynical reasons, but I thought they matched up well with them based on what I know about the Chiefs' offensive line and what's missing and what Todd Bowles was going to draw up. Like, Todd Bowles was going to have a good game plan for them. And I thought the Buccaneers would win the game based on said game plan. And they did. Unfortunately, I was right. I hate being right when I say Tom Brady's going to win. The Patriots, you know, when he was on that team, the Patriots are going to win, Tom Brady's going to win. I hate being right because I just don't like Tom Brady. And I'm tired of watching him win. I'm tired of watching Tom Brady win.
You can't keep getting away with this! You can't keep getting away with it!
But he's just going to continue to do what the fuck Tom Brady do. He's just going to continue to win. And, like, if it ain't because he's great, it's because other people shit on themselves, referees, random lucky breaks in the middle of games. Like, one way or the other, Tom Brady just going to end up winning. I don't know when exactly Tom Brady sold his soul to the devil, but I'm very convinced that he did. Because there's no other explanation for the fact that he's just been lived the most charmed existence I've ever seen from an athlete. And this is not to take, again, because somehow we've gotten to a point where being lucky has some wildly negative connotation where you can't be great and lucky. It got to be one or the other. You got to be lucky or great. No, Tom Brady is great and lucky. Tom Brady is one of the best quarterbacks ever. Do I think he's the greatest quarterback of all time? As I said, that depends on what your definition of great is. Like, accomplishments to me are talking about more surroundings and what the team does than what the individual player does, especially in football. This is not baseball. This is not basketball where it's just, okay, well, more so basketball. This is not basketball where it's like, okay, I have LeBron James, I have a shot. I have Michael Jordan, I have a shot. Like, football, you need a whole lot of different things to go in your way. Like, Tom Brady didn't look this good last year. He didn't. When they were asking him to throw the bullshit receivers, still had a dope defense, and they couldn't win anything. He leaves, rightfully so, smartly goes to a team with dope receivers and a dope defense, and here we are. But, like, do I think he's the greatest? I mean, I guess he's the most accomplished. Do I think he's the best quarterback I've ever seen? No. But ultimately, this does not matter. He keeps winning. Like, none of this matters. Rooting against Tom Brady is the single most pointless thing I've ever done. And boy, let me tell you, I'm 33 years old. I've done a lot of pointless things in my life. A lot. And rooting against Tom Brady is the most pointless endeavor. It's just going to end up with you being sad. That's all it's going to end up with, me being sad. Like, ultimately, he on Tampa Bay, I don't care that much no more. Am I still rooting against him? Yeah, because it's fun. Fuck Tom Brady. But ultimately, like, yo, rooting against him is a waste of time. Ultimately, he going to get what he wants all the time. Like, it's like watching the same movie over and over and being mad at the ending. Like, the ending was X, and you didn't like the ending. Like, okay, then you go watch it 20 times and hope that the ending changes? Ultimately, the ending gonna be what the ending is. Tom Brady gonna do what he do. He gonna win. That's what Tom Brady gonna do. It could be because of him. It could be because of the fucking the kicker's wife into the team who was yelling at him before the game and he missed the game deciding kick. It could be because of the grounds crew. It could be because of the training staff. It could be because of anybody. Tom Brady gonna win. That's one thing I've learned and unfortunately has sustained for 20 fucking years. And let me tell you, I'm sick of Tom Brady. Again, I'll say it again, I'm sick of Tom Brady. But I have to give him his credit. Like, he played well. Like, at least I can say this ain't some, oh, we're gonna give Brady all the credit while everybody else did the heavy lifting, he ain't do shit. Like, he played well. What did they win because of him? No, he ain't do that much. Like, the Buccaneers defense choked the life out of KC. They beat the fight out of them. That's what won them the game. They beat the fight right out of Kansas City. Ultimately, that's what won them the fucking game. But Brady did what he was supposed to do, which was basically the bare fucking minimum. Good for him. He won. Good. Sick of him. Sick of everything. Fuck everything. I will say this, though. Antoine Winfield Jr., I know that dude's going to be a good pro. Because Tyreek Hill gave him the peace sign after a touchdown in week 6, 7, whenever the fuck they played the first time. I don't know off the top. I'm not going to pretend like I know, and I'm not going to look it up. I do not care enough. He gave him the peace sign in week 6 or whatever. And after that fourth down incompletion in the fourth quarter, so that were like 4 minutes left, Antoine Winfield Jr. gave him the fucking peace sign back and got a penalty for it. Mind you, I'm the worst when it comes to taunting penalties because I just don't believe they should exist unless it's just wildly blatant. Tyreek Hill been giving dude the peace sign for 4 fucking years. He ain't got flagged for it. He ain't got flagged for that shit in like 3 years. Like, they let Tyreek do what he do. So I don't know why you mad at Antoine Winfield Jr. for giving him a little bit of a taste of his own fucking medicine. All he did was give him the peace sign. He ain't say a whole bunch of words. He ain't do no stomping. He ain't do nothing to demonstrate. He put 2 fingers up. Why that was a penalty, I don't know. But I can make an entire episode on bullshit taunting penalties. So I'm gonna deviate off of that. But I know he's gonna be great because that's so petty. And goddamn it, I love petty. Oh, I love petty. Like, that's been sticking with that dude for like 3 months, bro. And he couldn't wait for the opportunity to give it back to Tyreek, and he gave it back to Tyreek. Like, yeah, peace. peace now? Like, who got the peace now? Like, I could do nothing but respect that level of petty. And I feel like that's the perfect way to end this episode. So thank you for listening. This has been episode 30. Rate, review, and subscribe. And I will see you when I see you. Every motherfucking year.